According to St. Mark, the fourth chapter. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to the apostles, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, by your patient example, you showed us how to truly love one another. Fill us with your Spirit and help us to live as you would have us, always giving you glory and honor in all we do and think and say. We humbly ask this in your holy name. Amen. Well, you may have noticed by now that we are in the midst of a sermon series based on our lectionary reading from 2 Corinthians. If not, don't worry though, we'll catch you up a little bit. This book, 2 Corinthians, an epistle or letter, was written by the Apostle Paul, and it speaks with candor and wisdom about some of the challenges and joys of living together as Christ's church. Now, I really love the epistles. The ones authored by Paul, which we call Pauline epistles, and the rest of them as well. They give us such practical advice for how to handle all kinds of issues that arise in the church. Not that the church ever has any issues. Newcomers to the faith are often surprised, disappointed, or even disgusted when they first experience unrest and turmoil in the church. Too often it is the case that rather than working through our problems like followers of Christ and living by his example of overwhelming love and grace, Christians can follow the ways of the world. Even regular church-going types can rely on not-so-godly conflict resolution tactics such as gossip, malice, slander, deceit, or lies in order to get their way or to get even. But this is not what God intends for his church. God's way is nothing like the way of the world. It is true that we are all sinners, every last one of us, no matter how saintly we may try to live. Deep down, we secretly covet revenge. We brood over hurt feelings. We cling tightly to long-held grudges. Like children stubbornly clinging to a treasured security blanket, even when it is filthy with grime and germs. God longs to take the sin to which we cling, that nasty old lovey we so dearly cherish, away from our grasp and have us cling to Christ instead. In Jesus, there is redemption and righteousness, purity of heart, and cleansing from our sin. And his example of self-giving, sacrificial love, and forgiveness is the only example we should aspire to follow. But we cannot cling to Christ with both hands while still stubbornly hanging on to sinful ways. That is why we begin our worship service each week with the confession. We confess our sins, We lay all our filthy mess of selfish, stubborn, willful thoughts and deeds at the feet of Jesus. And he picks them all up and carries them away in his nail-scarred hands. Jesus forgives us and makes us clean again. He takes all the old, nasty, dirty rags of our sin and exchanges them for the brilliant, clean perfection found only in him, the only one who is without sin, the God who loves us so much that he died for us and for our salvation. When we hear those words of absolution, those words of God's forgiveness, they set us free. They fill us with joy and light and life and hope because we have been forgiven and restored by a Savior, our Lord Jesus, who gave up everything to put us back in right relationship with God the Father. This Jesus, the one who died for you and for me, this Jesus who calmed the storm and stilled the sea, this Jesus loves you and forgives every sin you have ever committed and everyone that you have yet to commit. He has all the power in all the universe, and yet he cares deeply, passionately for each of us. He cares for all his people, even the ones we do not want to love or forgive or care for in any way, especially the ones we would rather slander, malign, and vilify. Even so, Jesus loves you. And everyone else, too. So in Paul's words, we put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. In other words, as disciples of Jesus Christ and members of his body, the church, we must strive to be above reproach. We must continually resist the devil and our own evil inclinations to follow the ways of this world. Not that we ever get it right totally. Not that we could even be perfect. But we belong to Christ, not the world. And so we follow Christ, even when his way is challenging and costly and forces us to swallow our pride. Even if the sinner we must love and forgive is very difficult to love and forgive. Paul writes, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. Through all difficulties, though we may be hurt or hated by others, in Paul's case, wrongly imprisoned, beaten, reviled, and eventually killed for his adherence and witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to this we submit ourselves. We commend ourselves. Commend. As in the last words of Jesus, recalled by St. Luke, when Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. As disciples of Christ, we are called to take up the cross and follow him, to walk in his way, until with our dying breath, we give our life to the one who gave us life and who gives us new and eternal life. In Christ. In death, we commend ourselves to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In life, we commend ourselves to bearing witness to the salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, we live as he lives. We do not receive the grace of God in vain, as Paul writes. We commend ourselves to whatever storms come our way. With the help of the God, the Father of our Lord, we face these storms with purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God. We do not face the battles with weapons of hate and revenge and lust for being right, but with weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, the righteousness of Christ. Through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, though even as the church we may be treated as imposters, unknowns, dying, punished, sorrowful, poor, as those who have nothing, we have everything. We have everything in Christ. And so we do not grow weary in commending ourselves to these challenges that appear before us. We do not let our sinfulness, nor the sins that others commit against us, drive us away from the way, the truth, and the life. We persevere. We press on in doing what is right. We diligently follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. We choose to live relentlessly in the joy of his forgiveness, in the joy of his love. And by Jesus' example, we open our hearts wide, both to receive his gifts of grace and also, especially, to share his gifts of grace. And so we love as Jesus loves. We forgive as Jesus forgives. Because God so loves the world. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for all. Thanks be to God.